Welcome to the M2 Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Ante. My co-host right here is Kyle Heath. This is the show where we cover the last week gaming industry-related news, new and upcoming games, technology innovation, esports and personalities, and just general gaming industry-related news. Kyle, what have you been doing, man? How's it been? What's your week been like?
It's been pretty good. Leading up to Thanksgiving for those in the States, you know? So it's kind of a chill
week.
That's true. It's been a little bit of a chill week for me. Yeah, I mean, games-wise, I will say, I have been playing a decent amount of Call of Duty. But I'd probably say I'm leaning more towards playing the zombies as opposed to the multiplayer. Like, a little bit of both, okay. But more so zombies. I'm really enjoying the zombies, which I thought I would, kind of leading into it. I'm glad that I was right, because, yeah, it's the zombies is, it's a different approach, but it's like, I guess it's kind of like DMZ for those that played DMZ, but I never played DMZ, so it's like all kind of a fresh concept for me, which I think kind of helped me enjoy it more. But yeah, dude, like just like having, like, it's essentially, you know, like open world kind of zombies everywhere. What my favorite thing about it is there's like different tiered zones. So like you have like your basic tier zone you land at the start. You have about like 45 minutes to just kind of play the round out. And then there's like a tier 2 and tier 3 zone, which have harder zombies. And the idea is that you want to like build up your weapons, get some weapons from the box maybe, and like pack a bunch of your weapons so you can go to the next tiers and like get better loot, you know, better items and stuff. So it's kind of like a, it's almost like, you know, you kind of reset every round. But I like that. I mean, I think it's kind of gives you a different game every time. And there's still, I feel like a bunch about the zombies I still haven't experienced. So that gets me excited to kind of keep playing and see kind of the end of everything. I mean, I feel like it'd be a while for me to like be able to figure out like how to effectively go to the tier 3 zone and like get, you know, defeat certain bosses, get certain loot and stuff like that. So it's kind of one of those things I've been grinding a little bit lately, but yeah, it's something I'm enjoying about Call of Duty. I think more so than multiplayer. I still play multiplayer every now and again, but for me, I think zombies is kind of where it's been at. So
that makes sense. Zombie seems to be a little bit more refreshing, it sounds like.
Yeah, the round-based stuff was cool that Call of Duty did for so long, but now I'm just, like, kind of over round-based. I mean, last time I played it was kind of, like, it died pretty quickly for me, so, like, a different perspective is, I think, was much needed, so. Enjoyed it, man.
You know, I think the inevitable, like, evolution of COD zombies is going to turn into, like, Left 4 Dead, where people can be the zombies next. And then they have like mutant zombies, and it just goes from there. I could see that happening pretty soon.
Yeah, I could probably see that too. I mean, this new approach definitely gives I think another thing that excites me about this new zombies approach is like the opportunity to iterate upon it and build it even like, you know, bigger in terms of like a world or like a story or whatnot.
Yeah.
Because there are like, I mean, there's not really a story. I mean, there are sort of missions that you could do to not only get like, you know, credits in your certain session, but also like, just kind of exploring what all you can do within zombies and kind of showing off the entire tech tree almost, if that makes sense. That's been pretty cool too, because it gives you like objectives and things to do. So that's pretty cool. I mean, there's a lot that I think they can, you know, expand on in terms of if they want to like, you know, add events or stuff like that. I think they could do that in this if there's a big enough player base. So we'll see how it shakes out. But I think it's interesting. So
very nice, man. That's exciting. You've been playing another game too, haven't you? I've seen occasionally you've been playing Alan Wake still, right?
Yeah, Alan Wake too. I'm gonna get back to that game I think soon. I know, especially right now, it's just like I don't know. Like I'm kind of just like when COD came out, it's just like I've been in a mode, especially this week, where it was like super chill. So I just want to kind of turn my brain off and just like shoot things. Yeah. So that's kind of been my mindset this past like week or so. But I definitely want to get back to Alan Wake too and continue that story. Because it's definitely on the list, so yeah. But it's one of those things, you know, I want to dedicate at least a couple, like 2-3 hours, you know, to a session to that. So, but yeah, with this, I can, you know, play with friends and just kind of chill. So, it's kind of about
the vibe. Yeah, I think that's pretty perfect. I haven't gotten myself on Call of Duty yet. I haven't even watched any content on it.
I don't blame you. You know, I'm not exactly promoting people get it. So I mean, that's the zombies is interesting to me, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think anybody's been like promoting it at all. I just don't think anybody really cares. People are a little bit Call of Duty'd out at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fair. And I think multiplayer wise, like to a certain extent, I'm kind of there too. Just like, yeah, I'm not really like here to grind multiplayer too much, I don't think.
Agreed.
But yeah, I don't know. Mike, you've been playing some games this week, different things.
I have actually. Well, first of all, I didn't play much really this weekend until Sunday. So went to my buddy's place out, kind of not really near you, but on the coast, because I know you're on the coast. So yeah. I was over at Emerald Isle and I was checking out my buddy's bar. He was closing it this past weekend, so I wanted to go in there and like show the support. He's kind of taking it rough, but at the same time, he felt like it was necessary. He needed to pull the plug. It wasn't really working out for him, and he's ready to move back to Raleigh, get more inland, be around more friends.
Oh, nice. Okay. So, okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to make my trip out there, so that took up like Friday, Saturday for me. And then when I got back Sunday, I had been playing It Takes Two with McSlurminator. So him and I have been just basically rolling through it. And the cool thing about him and I is we've been playing together for the past like 17 years, arguably 20 years. So it's like we don't really need to communicate to know what to do because we understand each other's play style. We understand like our mannerisms even in game. So it's like we just know what each other are going to do because we know each other so well. We know how each other think. So it's like we're playing that game and we're just destroying it, man. We're like, I think the first day we played like 3 or 4 hours and we got like all the way to chapter 5 or 6 out of 10. So we beat half the game in like less than 3 hours. Yeah. And we were taking breaks too. We were just like, well, we were having a couple of drinks, of course. And we're just like, all right,
why not?
Let's get a refill, bathroom break, couple of snacks, stuff like that. And I think we're probably going to try to finish it either tonight or tomorrow. So I'll give like a little bit of a proper review, put it up on the board that I have, the progress set that I got for games. Yep. The other bit I've been playing is OG Halo 2 on X-Link. Played that last night and the night before, or maybe it was Sunday night as well. It's hard to tell because it kind of mixes up. Struggling on that, but also it's fun. Like, just to go back and play the OG stuff again. I've also started and set up a Halo 2 tournament on Project Cartographer. That's going to be December 17th. And we got like a decent group of people signed up. I think there's like 20 people or so signed up. So it's looking pretty good. The player pool is pretty strong. We got some good players in there. The hardest part about doing tournaments like is you got to have a high quality player, like a really, really good player that's also willing to be a captain, so that you can pick teams and try to make the teams as balanced as possible. Because if there's too much like difference in captains of like the best players, then one team gets like really, really good. And then the last team that like picks gets like the worst possible player. And then there's no point for them to really play. They just have no shot. You know, you want to make it as competitive and evenly balanced as possible. So yeah, we got plenty of time to get that figured out and set up. But in the meantime, I'm going to finish up It Takes Two, and then I'm going to start. Let me double check what the actual, I think it's Dark Tide. Yeah, Warhammer 40K Dark Tide. Blind Reaper came in, and he was saying that it's like they're getting a bunch of new updates and similar to Left 4 Dead Back 4 Blood. 4-player co-op, fighting like waves of zombies kind of thing. So that's the next game on the ticket. So
gotcha. I like it. So a couple things. One, I think for that tournament, the only unsolicited idea I would bring is that you need to get a Discord bot, and then you need to randomly select a team each round to get ear blasted with some Christmas music while they play, just to piss that team off. And then you go in, you switch it to the other team or whatever. Let's go with each round. Anyway, that's my only advice. You don't have to implement, but I think that'd be hilarious personally, just to see, especially with those Halo 2 degenerates.
Well, dude, no, it's fair. It's fair. We're all degens. I do think normally I would say yes, I would absolutely do that, but there's a couple of big donations that people are talking about. One player's talking about putting in 1K and also having it set up. So it's like,
yeah, never mind. There's money involved. Yeah,
there's money involved. It's like a $25 buy-in, but that's like pretty standard for the tournaments that we run. It's either 20 or 25, depending on the player pool and like all this kind of stuff. But if we get somebody donating 1K, then way more people are going to sign up. There's another person that said they're either going to match them or do half the donation, so 500. And that's like on top of whatever people consider donating further. It's like, okay, that's when you get money where like people are going to take a little bit more seriously. Yeah, but it's an all day kind of tournament, man. If you got eight teams, it's double elimination, mostly five best of fives. I mean, if you're one of those players or one of those teams that goes to the finals, dude, you're looking at like minimum 8 hours. It's pretty rough.
Yeah. I mean, that's a marathon session. But I mean, all I'm saying is, you think like 5-10 years from now, like someone would be like, yo, I could have won like $200, but you know, Frosty the Snowman just threw me off.
that's true. Hit him with what's her story. Name? What's her name, dude?
You,
she comes down. What? Ellen?
No. What's her name? I forget the name of that song. I said that.
It starts with an M, doesn't it?
Mariah Carey.
Yes, Mariah Carey. Yeah. She's every single Christmas just comes her blasting. That. Oh, that actually reminds me. Remember that video you sent me where if you don't pause it immediately, it shrinks and you can't pause it.
It's so toxic.
Yeah, I gotta find that ASAP. I think that's just in the DMs with you and me, right? There's no other group chats.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is.
I'm gonna find that group chat for sure.
DM, but yeah.
Yeah, I gotta post that. I'm posting that after this episode. I'm going to three different Discords and posting it immediately. So
because you just hear you and then it just starts closing.
There's nothing you can do once it closes. You have to like go to a different channel or tab.
I think you can like pause it if you're very quick, but it's just like. But most people when they first see it, they're so confused that it just closes before they can do anything. So they're like,
oh yeah,
and then you have to control all your Discord, and it's like, it's crazy.
Oh yeah. Well, when you hit this first article, I think I'm going to go download it right now, so I'm prepared. Hit them quick.
Just saying. Also, second point.
Yes.
It Takes Two. Very excited to hear what you think about the entirety of the game.
You finished it, haven't you?
Yeah, it was amazing. I played it like when it first came out with the buddy of mine.
Okay.
It is, I think it's one of those games everybody that's thinking about the possibility of getting into gaming at any point, it's a great entry title, I think, for like anybody trying to get into gaming.
Dude. There's two sections that we've already like got to. So we just finished the clock one. So that's chapter 7.
Yeah.
Remember the clock? So I think it was the clock. It was a couple of them where I was talking with my buddy that I'm playing with, and I was just like, dude, this is going kind of hard. Yeah. Kind of hard for like supposed to be an everybody plays kind of game. So I can understand how some people, like a group of people, if you have one person really, really struggling, how it can be frustrating.
Yeah.
But overall, I think it's really cool. Is that an indie developer too?
I guess they're technically indie. I just know the like the community manager or whatever is like the guy at the Game Awards that like everyone looks forward to seeing. I'm forgetting his name.
He is Light Studios.
I forget his name, but yeah, he's like the coolest dude ever. Everyone looks for him.
Joseph?
Yeah.
Varys?
Yeah, I think it's that guy.
Not Varys, Faris. Swedish.
Yeah.
From Stockholm.
He's the best personality, like that you could ask for, like community manager, I feel like, for a game dev.
Oh, wow. Yeah, dude. Yeah, this is so they've been open for 9 years since 2014. Yeah. They did A Way Out, It Takes Two, and they have 65 employees. I'm pretty sure that's going to classify as indie.
Yeah,
dude. A Way Out was critically acclaimed too, I think. That was the jailbreak.
Yeah, dude. These like duo, like two player games that they make are just so unique. So yeah. So, dude, they're a great studio, but yeah, dude. And the main reason I say that about It Takes Two is because there's literally every style of game in that game, and surely you'll experience that. Like you've already experienced some of that already, but like you'll experience it even more as you get further along in the game. So yeah, it's because you're like, I just want you when you guys finish it, I want you to sit there and ask yourself, okay, how many different styles of game do we just play throughout the entire game?
Oh yeah, dude. Like already it's kind of crazy. Like my favorite one so far, like the collaboration that we were putting, it was literally, I think that's the chapter, it was called Collaboration, where you can be really big or really small.
Yeah.
And then the other person has like moon boots where they can control gravity. Dude, that's so sick.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
dude. There's I won't give away that part, but I will say there's essentially a section where it's like it reminds you of like Minecraft Dungeons, like a roguelike, where it's like isometric and you're just like walking around with like swords and stuff. It's It's pretty sick. It's like a dungeon crawler for a little bit. It's just wild, the amount of like different styles of games you play. But yeah,
it kind of turns into like a top down dungeon. When I saw it immediately, I was like, "Is this Diablo?" And I got to be the wizard, so I was like messing stuff up. I'm having a great time.
It's a good solid game, I'll say.
Sir. But how about we get into this like first article? I mean, Aenea, we've covered them several times, and the videos click, man. People love them.
Yeah. Needless to say, the handhelds continue, you know? Aenea Slide officially launches. Specs, pricing, and more from Rebecca Hill's Duty at Dexerto. Aenea Slide handheld has had its official launch on Indiegogo and is ready for pre-orders. Gather up everything we know so far about this intriguing handheld. Since the launch of the Switch and the Valve Steam Deck, the popularity of handheld consoles and computers has exploded. Aenea in particular has been attracting a great deal of attention with its various handhelds, such as the Aenea Kun we reviewed recently. The company now has a significant product lineup, and a new product has just joined it with a launch, official launch at the Aenea Slide. The Aenea Slide was originally announced last year and immediately attracted attention from its show-stopping feature, the full integrated keyboard. This gives the appearance of something like an oversized version of the Sony Xperia X10 or the T-Mobile Sidekick smartphones of years past. I remember the Sidekicks.
Yeah, dude.
And there's one, it's like one with a swivel screen. It's like you flip it and it just, you know, like it doesn't go up, it goes, you know.
Did you ever have one of those?
No, I saw people in school that did. I never had one. I wasn't cool enough.
I was able to get one of them. I felt so special.
Yeah.
But then I think BlackBerry or something came out shortly after, like a new version of it. And then it was a wrap from there.
Yeah, the only cell phone I had, like I had an iPhone, I think, in high school, but like middle school especially, like my parents gave me one of those little like track phone, like just, you know, you can call people, that's it. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't anything special. And now, you know, middle schoolers have tablets and smartphones. It's crazy now.
They probably have nicer phones than I do now.
Literally, it's wild out here.
Yeah.
Priorities, you know. With the official launch, more details on the specifications of the Aenea Slide are available. Several components have been changed or upgraded compared to past models. This includes a screen, which is a new 1920x1080 resolution 6-inch IPS screen. With the incorporated keyboard in use, the screen is fully adjustable with what Aenea described as a one-push automatic spring structure that makes the screen slide effortlessly into the desired position. A fully featured keyboard and, wait for it, Mike, Hall Effect joysticks. Go.
Nice.
Yeah. Claps for that. All
becoming starting. You can tell that like more and more manufacturers are starting to realize like, okay, apparently the consumer gaming community wants these Hall Effect joysticks. So it's good. It's good, man.
Got to get rid of the stick drift, the dead zones.
100%. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes, dude. And of course, to most, the keyboard is the highlight. Nay and Neo. Aenea has promised a full-featured keyboard with standard characters, function keys, and combination keys to access all necessary functions, along with RGB lighting effects to make it look pretty. There's a picture of it. I mean, it does look clean. I like the joysticks, the little ring of light around them, assuming that's like RGB.
Yeah.
You know, you can probably change those. But yeah, dude, the screen, it's like, it's so weird because like the screen's almost structured just look like it's like not at all attached to like the base. It's kind of just like almost floating a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know how it looks.
Hopefully it's stable.
Shit, no kidding. The Aenea Slide is still intended as a gaming device, however, so the company has upgraded the Hall Effect joysticks and incorporated RGB lighting, as well as redesigned the trigger buttons for a better experience. The Hall Effect joysticks are a major draw for Aenea devices, as this magnet-based system eliminates the analog stick drift seen in many other modern controllers. The handheld console will be priced at $699 during the pre-order period, and there are a range of other perks available to those who pre-order via Indiegogo, such as custom pin badges and carrying cases. For more news regarding Aenea's latest handhelds and other devices, check a news source. You could do Dexerto if you want, but you know, there's tons out there reporting on it. But you know, thank you, Rebecca, for the intel. I mean, look, Mike, it's looks like a modern slide handheld device.
It does.
It's very well designed, I think, just at first glance.
Yeah, I mean, every single one of Aenea's products have always looked like really well designed, I think. I think that's a fair thing to say. I want to hear from people that have actually bought these devices, though, and what their take is, you know? Because you and I haven't gotten hands-on on these. And to be honest, I haven't seen a lot of, like, reviewed videos on it. Yeah. So from what I understand, it's, like, it's pretty small manufacturer. It's mostly crowdfunded. And every time we talk about them, they usually come out with these models that are, like, very attractive. The specs look great. And then, like, the next month or so, like, they're already on to the next project. So there's not continued support or development for it.
Yeah.
You know?
This is a manufacturing defect, Mike. What if the keys break easily, dude? No, what do you think the keys break easily? What if the joysticks?
I mean, the joysticks should be fine, but the keys? I mean, will it hold up to the fact that I'm going to be mobile laying on my bed or my couch
with true.
Dorito dust all over my thumbs? Like, will they hold up?
Yeah, like, I say, look, a tiny keyboard is cool and all, but every keyboard now is on a touchscreen, right? Because it's like touchscreens are so good now. It's like you don't really need a full-fledged keyboard. It's nice that there's like a physical keyboard. I mean, I'd want to try that myself to see what that feels like, if that's like comfortable to use, or like, you know, how big is the device? Because like if I'm like doing like, I don't like having to reach with my thumb super far and it's like hard to hold the device, and that could be an issue. But
it's true.
But yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see how it performs gaming wise, but I'm also curious to see just how that keyboard feels, because I feel like it would be I feel like it wouldn't be practical, but then again, I don't really
know how big the device is. That's a good point, because it's like if you want to hold it like this, kind of like a Switch or any other tablet where you got like the triggers and stuff, if you're going to use the thumb, like your thumbs to use the keyboard, because you're not going to put it down and then like type on it, are you? Right. That doesn't make sense.
Because like,
but
it's like 6 inches. I'm trying to think about how big an iPhone is. I think it's like 6, maybe a little more. So I guess the display would be kind of like this size. I mean, so it might work.
Yeah, you're probably out like this. Here's a calculator, right?
Yeah.
So I guess you can, but this is underneath, right? So you'd have to use your thumbs, and then you basically have to hold it like that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's how I feel, right? It's like,
it's weird. It's weird. Like you said, I think one of the coolest things, so like I have a Samsung tablet, and when you have two configurations that you can choose, and this is like the flexibility of the touchscreen, is it's a software change. Because the whole screen is touch. So the keyboard, if you like turn it horizontally, you can switch it so like it splits the keyboard directly in half, and you can have it right on the bottom right and the bottom left.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, like, it's a very large, like it's a big tablet kind of.
Yeah.
So I wonder why they wouldn't just adopt that kind of configuration, like you said.
Yeah, I feel like, I almost feel like iPhone kind of does something similar.
I'm sure it does.
There's like a way to like enable
it. The iPhone's so big now.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or like you can do single-handed like keyboard on a touchscreen.
Yeah. Yeah, like those ways.
Like if you turn it horizontally, you can have it like right over here.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And there's ways to do that. And that's the flexibility of a touchscreen, right? And that's probably my only concern with this, is that the keyboard would be just kind of gimmicky and it wouldn't really be like that practical. But I mean, other than that, I would hope it performs well, you know.
True. I mean, dude, it would actually absolutely crush it if you're playing, let's say, Rocket League, and you got to do a quick message. That keyboard, like, unmatched. Having a keyboard to like go for it, because like touchscreen is not the same, man.
Yeah.
You like when you're angry, you need to feel those buttons.
Also, like
slamming, dude.
Yeah. Also, like trying to pull up a software keyboard when your device is in high use could probably be like slow a lot of times, right? So it's like,
that's a good point. It's like just that. Yeah.
Trying to talk your ish, too, and it's like trying to just go in, you know, keyboard. I wonder what it sounds like when you slide it, though. Does it make like a like, what is it? It'd be cool,
dude. If it sounds like like, doing? Like a blade or a sword coming out of a hilt, dude. Yeah, dude. That like,
it's like I would just sit there. I'd break the screen just if it had like a fucking sound or something.
Or what? I mean, again, we're in 2023. What if it makes no noise whatsoever? It's like super smooth and almost glides like magnetic.
Yeah,
but you can have like software noise for it. Like how some cars that are 100% electric, they will play like an engine sound if you wanted to, like through the speakers.
Yeah. or like the USB sound, you know, when you plug your USB in. Like, not many people know this, but you can actually change that sound to whatever. It's just an audio file. So you can literally go into whatever settings, just change it to whatever. Yeah, like, what is similar here? You can change, like, the sound it makes when you slide it. Kind of sick.
I forgot you could do that because it's just been the norm forever. Yeah. And now, like, my immediate thought is, like, I'm about to get it. So it's, like, it's Goku powering up to Super Saiyan 3 for the first time on TV.
Yeah, no, it'd be kind of sick. Like, I've seen people, like, change it to, like, Discord sound, so it's like, dee-doo-doo-dee. It's like, you're fucking stuff in here, though.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you can do, like, Mario sounds, too. Dude, I love it. Windows is nice in that regard. They let you get a little creative. It's like, you do kind of have a little creativity there. But yeah.
I like it, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see. I want to see one of these in action. That's at this point, you know? I want to see a keyboard, you know?
I, like, want to have hands-on. I want
to
try.
I would love to have, like, an ANEO handheld of any kind, just hands-on, because I think they all look sick, but it's like, how do they,
dude, they all look, yeah, they all look amazing, and they like promise a whole bunch of things with them, and everything looks super promising even on the specs. Like, there are some competitors maybe you'd be more attracted to, like the Steam Deck OLED. Now that's a little bit more attractive than anything that ANU has, but for what ANU is like trying to do and like pushing the handheld market, it's really good.
Yeah,
so
cool to see that innovation, right? Especially in handheld.
Exactly.
Big thing. It's a USB-C port. I'm assuming that's kind of there. Be kind of sick. You hook it up to a device, hook it up to a monitor.
Dude,
if there's that level of power.
Imagine if you just hook it up to the same exact dock as the Switch. Like,
just as
reprogrammer.
That'd be sick.
That's 100% proprietary information, though.
Yeah. Probably wouldn't work, but yeah. What is becoming proprietary for one developer?
Oh, I know why you gave me this one. Because you can't pronounce the first word, can you?
That's Annapurna. I can pronounce it.
I was going to struggle for sure, so I'm glad I just trapped you into saying it. So this article is coming from Forbes. We cover them handful of times, I think. Yeah, it's always we always keep thinking every single time we mention Forbes, it's like...
It's a big article.
They're strictly... Yeah, it's legit. It's a big
it's
one.
It's so big.
100%. So Annapurna buys first... ever company to expand indie gaming empire. Interesting. So, multimedia entertainment company. Oh, yeah, by the way, this is from Matt Gardner, senior contributor at Forbes. So, what he has written is multimedia entertainment company Annapurna has acquired its first ever company, expanding its interactive vision division with the purchase of South African's 24-bit Games, a longtime collaborator with the indie publishing giant. 24-bit Games has played a major part in bringing past Annapurna Interactive Games to more platforms, giving PlayStation players the critically acclaimed Neon White, taking the superb Maquette.
I kind of like Maquette. I like that. I don't think it's right.
It's
like
that. Nah, I think it's French. McQueen?
Lightning McQueen.
McQueen. Help me out here. Go look that up while I'm reading. Lightning McQueen. To Xbox and Switch, and most recently adapting 2023 Indie Game of the Year frontrunner Cocoon for PlayStation and Switch. That is an indie frontrunner. That's pretty sick. It has also helped with 12 Minutes, Bro Force, and Memoir Blue. Since its creation in 2012, the Unity-focused 24-bit Games has expanded its portfolio to also work on tool production for both independent and AAA studios, complementing its console output with games on mobile, PC, and VR platforms. VR still making a push, which is pretty interesting. So Annapurna has said it hopes to grow 24-bit Games development team and proprietary technology toolkits for new projects, and current employees and leadership will continue to operate as usual under Annapurna umbrella. It has also emphasized its commitment to helping 24-bit's quest to advance the South African game development industry. Pretty sick, man. I think this is pretty interesting. I think what's really interesting, what I like that they're mentioning, is the South African game development industry. So all the economic stuff that I've been hearing about is Africa in general is going to be the next big industrial economic booming area. So to see that it's already working with video game development in that type of industry is pretty cool.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, dude, South Africa is one of those like places. That, like, every time I see it in videos and stuff like that, it's like it's beautiful. Oh, yeah. I feel like it'd be a great place to just like experience culture. So, yeah, to have some game development there, I think would be a pretty sick thing. I wanted to show off Cocoon a little bit because every time I see this trailer, it's like it's one of those games where it's just the creativity of indie at its finest. And so you see like just this interesting like art style, this interesting kind of. Like the transitions between stages and stuff like that, they kind of showcase in like their reveal trailer of this game. But yeah, it's a very very creative piece. I mean, you're literally, I don't know, are you a dragonfly, a cicada? I don't even know what you are. You know, you look like something.
Yeah, I don't really know exactly what type of insect it is, but it's probably going to win Game of the Year for the indie Game of the Year, and I think it's kind of obvious why.
I mean, just look at this.
It's gorgeous, man. You know what I love most about indie games just in general and what I like about what Annapurna is trying to do with just like bringing more indie games to the forefront of different areas and helping out like economy. Like, all that's really good. Really good intentions. The cool thing about indie games is that they're able to start from scratch, like 100% scratch, right? They don't. They're not bogged down by a predecessor from like 10 years ago and they're having to run on an old engine because it's like you want to have that same thing going. It's like, no, they start from scratch, and they're able to do whatever they want.
Very true.
Sorry to interrupt your thought. What were you about to say?
No, it's a very, very good thought. There's not too much more to say, I think. I mean, I think Annapurna kind of, you know, starting to kind of, you know, purchase a studio and kind of broaden the horizons from a dev space and just kind of allow, like, I mean, it was obviously kind of an easy acquisition, right? Because they've been collaborating for so long. It's like, hey, Mom, why don't you just, like, once you join the umbrella, we'll help you and you can make good games. And I think all around it's a victory. And, you know, there's like the Annapurna showcase. I mean, we had one this year that was kind of just all, you know, the stuff under their wing and pushing indie gaming forward, to some much needed heights, I think. So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for this. And, but yeah, I mean, I think too, the side effect of hopefully boosting the South African economy, I think it's
always
good. A huge plus. So, yeah, I'm here for it, man. I think this is sick.
And one more thing to just add, really, is most of the games that 24-Bit Games has been pushing out has not been exclusivity, right? It's an indie game. So you can pretty much play it on anything that will allow it to run.
Yeah.
And having the ability to just have anybody that's interested in your game able to play it with whatever device that they might already have, it's, like, always a good idea. I really like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. I mean, you kind of need it with a lot of these titles too, because there's a smaller audience. So just get on as many platforms as you can.
Correct.
It's like the analogy of multi-streaming, you know.
Yes.
All that.
I can talk about that all day. Just multi-stream, no matter what. If you're streaming, multi-stream. Put the chat up on the window. Twitch ain't gonna Barely anybody works there. You're not gonna get canceled or anything.
You really aren't. But you know, there's some things that just don't survive, Mike. So I think something we've learned, especially in the past year with all these developers and whatnot being laid off. However, this next article does not pertain to that. It pertains to actual games. So this is a report I found that I think was kind of, most of this info was publicized today. There's a white paper from Good Games Don't Die. I pulled this article from gamesindustry.biz because it's a very interesting piece. A new report says that 83% of mobile games fail in the 3 years after launch. The research, so Superscale's research, also finds that 43% of games are dropped during development. It's pretty crazy stuff.
It's pretty interesting because for the longest time, we've been covering how popular more and more like gaming is becoming, and the largest or the fastest growing sector is the mobile gaming market has been the one that's growing the fastest. And it has nothing to do with like the people that are pushing games. It's been all about percentage of users, percentage of people playing. So that's an interesting stat that I did not see coming.
Yeah, very interesting, right? So, Sophie McEnvoy, that last name, I'm going to get it right. I'm sorry, Sophie. Listen, great article. Staff writer over at Industry.biz. So new research from mobile revenue growth engine Superscale has found that 83% of launched mobile games fail within 3 years, while 43% are canceled during development. Conducted by Atomic Research, Superscale's Good Games Don't Die report was published this week, and it's based on interviews with over 500 game developers. Well, I guess with 500. I guess they went like exactly at 500 in the UK and the US. according to the report, 76% of launched games reached peak revenue within the first year, but only 4% reached this peak during the second year. The report also found that while over half of developers use live ops in their games, 38% don't release regular content or updates, with less than half releasing monthly updates to their games, leading to just 5% of games receiving support 7 years post-launch. Despite the failure rate of new titles, 78% of developers prefer working on them. However, over a third of respondents said that uncertainty in the industry is, quote, stopping them from developing new games, end quote, with 30% feeling as though the current market is, quote, too difficult to succeed in, end quote. This comes as a result of two-thirds of studios having to conduct layoffs, downsize, or cut budgets, according to the Superscales report. 29% of developers cutting their UA budget. Well, these are volatile times for the games industry, said Superscale CEO and founder Ivan Trunkic.
I
like that.
Trunkic.
Maybe. Many mobile game developers are finding it hard to remain profitable in the face of challenges such as ATT, heavy competition in a mature mobile market, and macroeconomic conditions like high inflation. He continued that the findings from the Good Games Don't Die white paper serve as a wake-up call for the industry, a source of inspiration with actionable data, equipping developers and publishers with insight on how revenue can be maximized across their portfolio for both games new and old. That's kind of all the stats that, you know, that was reported, at least in this article. You know, if it's a white paper, I'm sure there's more detail.
Oh,
it's probably
sure.
Some crazy verbiage and language that, you know, is would probably go over my head, to be frank. You know, it's it gets kind of crazy when you dive into research papers, but interesting statistics nonetheless, right? I mean, we're talking about 83% of mobile games fail within the first 3 years. And yeah, I mean, when I really think about it, it's like, yeah, I mean, there's only a couple like mobile games that really stuck out to me as like that survived a while and thrived, whether it was like, you know, Fruit Ninja, Clash Clans, you know,
that's true.
I mean, I hate to hesitate to say COD Mobile or anything like that, but I mean, it is a mobile game.
Well, PUBG Mobile is absolutely crushing it. Yeah.
Fortnite was on mobile. I mean, there's games like that. I mean, there's also Candy Crush. Like, we're talking about King, the people that just, yeah. that Microsoft just bought. The reason they bought it, let's be honest, they're buying it for the mobile market. I don't know if that's true, but it's certainly a huge proponent of that acquisition. So, I mean, you think about those, but it's like, it's kind of, when I think about it, it's really kind of a small, like, kind of a ecosystem that of games I remember mobile-wise. I mean, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I see ads for mobile games all the time, too, that look fun. Most mobile games, though, I mean, obviously, where they make their money is with ads and stuff like that. So, you know, you get hit with them ads, but... I think it's very interesting, and it's to a certain extent doesn't surprise me. I think there's such a failure rate, especially in the first 3 years, a lot of these games. But yeah, I mean, 43% canceled during development. There's a lot of ideas out there just going south, Mike, before we even hit the storefront.
Yeah, I didn't know how ruthless it was for mobile. Like, I never really thought about it because I don't play mobile games often. And if I do, it's when I'm at home and I have the ad blockers going through the server. So, like, I don't get any of that pop-ups and stuff. But, man, like, I don't know, man. If you do the free version of some of these games, it just feels so egregious, the amount of ads you get. Because, like, every game is free to play. Yeah. And then they're like, by the way, you should download it as soon as possible, like, just to keep you playing for as long as possible. Yeah. But it is really wild to see that, like, 83% of launch mobile games fail in 3 years.
It's pretty crazy.
How do the studios like cope with that, you know? And then the other fact is like, do you just make a game and then do updates for 1 year because you're going to get pretty much, yeah, it says 76% of the launch games reach peak revenue within the first year. So it's like, okay, do you, like, once you start seeing the downward trend, you know that there's a 76% chance you've already passed your peak and your game's going to die, like a pretty high likelihood that your game's going to die in less than 3 years. So how do you pivot, right? Do you just, like, try to do a cash grab for the first year and then immediately go develop a new one? Like, who's got the next idea? and then you're just constantly chasing the next thing, you know, and then hopefully you like strike gold with, Candy Crush or like what's Angry Birds. Is Angry Birds still a thing? You know?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, I see why not. Yeah, Angry Birds is one I forgot about. Temple Run's another one.
Yeah. And then there's like how many knockoffs? Because once you see one of those, people are like, oh, I'm just going to make a new one.
Yeah.
You know, dude, like Flappy Bird was crazy popular, and then it got destroyed by Nintendo. And then they came out with like how many alternatives?
Yeah.
So,
dude, Flappy Bird, he made so much money every day off that app, dude. Just off ad revenue, it was insane. It was like $50,000 a day, I think, at peak or something. It was nuts.
Holy crap!
Yeah, it was insane. But yeah, I mean, it's I think about all those mobile games. It's it's kind of wild. I'd be curious. I really am curious now to see like how many games actually don't end up getting finished on mobile, you know? Like I'd be curious to see how many are started within a year and then just don't finish, because I mean I'm sure it's gotta be like hundreds, right? I just don't see the storefront. I mean another game too, like I even see my dad playing this game every now and again when I'm like when I visit. It's like it's one of those games where it's like you have a wheel of letters and you have to try and make and they give you like there's like 8 or 10 words that you can make out of these letters on this wheel, and so you have to like kind of connect them in a certain way. It's really, I forget what it's called, but I used to play it too. It's one of those addicting games, but it's like one of those kind of like it's like a mind kind of training game. It's almost like a Scrabble, but you have like a preset of there's a set amount of words, and you have to try and guess based off the letters you're given. So games like that are pretty cool that like test your brain, but.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, the other ones that are like very successful is just taking away from like basically almost ancient games at this point. It feels ancient, not the technical term, but just really old games. So it's like chess, checkers, poker, all the different varieties of poker. Like, dude, like those are old board games that have now turned into flash games, and everybody's got like a different one for that because the games are so old that how do you have a patent on that style of game?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, yeah, how do you even beat a competitor, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. The mobile market's got to be the worst in terms of trying to break out and have something succeed. So, and you know, but it's, you know, the most money. When we see those charts talking about what parts of the gaming industry make the most money, mobile's like...
Oh, through the roof. Ridiculous. They got the most amount of players. They got the most amount of money. And it's very interesting to see. So it's like... Does that mean there's only a handful of game developers that are actually making the real money? Must be.
Yeah, I'd love to see that kind of the difference in margin and everything. I can't even think of the word, but you know, the curve.
Discrepancy?
Yeah.
Or, wealth inequality.
Yeah, the wealth distribution. I don't know what you're going
with. Yeah. It's like all of it goes to people that were there first. That's pretty much how it works when it comes to like, new technology. It's like either are the best ever and you have the best product, or you were just first and you stay consistent.
Yeah, it's true.
So yeah,
get in that market, you understand? Get in that market.
Yes, sir. Alrighty, so shall we move on to the next one? I don't have a good segue.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something. Couldn't.
Today's the end of Steam. It's over.
Dun, dun, dun,
Steam is canceled.
Dun, 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 dun.
So Joshua Woolens wrote this article. It's coming from PC Gamer. And we followed Joshua Woolens plenty of times now. Hopefully I'm not butchering his last name. So, but the title of the article is called "Today is the End of Steam. Argentina and Turkey floored by new Steam price hikes as high as 2,900%.
Oh my gosh.
That's a crazy amount, dude. There ain't a bunch of... Oh, jeez. Let's just get into it. So Steam's new pricing policy for Latin America and the MENA region came out today. What is MENA? Middle Eastern?
The MENA region.
Middle East and North Africa.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so we're talking Algeria, Bahrain, Egypt, Iraq, Iran, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Libya, Morocco. I think you guys get the point. So there was an update to this article, so I'm going to go ahead and, what do you think, read the update first for the context, and then we'll get into the original story.
It provides more context, yeah.
Agreed. So, the update. Since this piece went live, a few readers in Argentina have reached out to note that Argentinian users also have to pay incredibly high taxes in addition to the Steam's listed prices, making these new prices even more unaffordable there. It's worth bearing that in mind as you read the original piece below. Shall we get into it? We are not a fan of the price hikes, let's put it that way. So the original story. Valve followed through on its promise to change Steam's regional pricing for Argentina and Turkey on November 20th, meaning games in those countries will now be priced in US dollars instead of Turkish lira and an Argentinian peso. The goal, Valve said back in October, is to prevent game developers from having to constantly adjust their prices to keep up with the stunning volatility of the Turkish and Argentinian currencies. Instead, they ought to be able to set a regionally appropriate price in USD and forget about it. But that regionally appropriate part is harder than it sounds. And Turkish and Argentine Steam users are currently in an uproar over new prices in their territories. A quick glance at the Steam subreddit reveals a number of users lamenting the new situation. Declaring the end of Steam for Turkish and Argentinian users. I mean, who on Reddit isn't always upset? Like, if you're on Reddit, you're probably complaining about something. It's the same reason I log into Twitter and I get mad every time I see something about the Panthers. I'm just mad, dude. I don't go there to be rational. It's Twitter. That's how I feel. That's how Reddit is to me. So announcing it's a return to piracy and posting some of the most eye-watering spreadsheets mankind has conjured.
Oh, man. I just love that sentence. Returning to piracy. Like, ooh. Okay.
Oh, we're bringing it back, boys.
Oh, man.
Oh, goodness gracious. So, I'm just looking at some of these right off the bat. And oh, my goodness. You see that change before and after scroll? Yeah, you're looking at it right now. So to cut the long story short, price changes, and this is from subreddit, I believe. Yeah, it's from Reddit. So before, they're showing Coral Island, which was, what is Lust Epidemic? I guess, whatever. So it's showing 280,000 TL, which is a Turkish currency. And same thing, Coral Island, after the update, it went to 431,000 TL. I think that's how you say thousand. They always do this comma thing in the currency, dude, that mixes me up.
It's like 400. I don't even know.
Yeah. Now it's 15 USD, but the conversion rate is pretty brutal, to say the least. And I'm sure the developers are just like, this seems appropriate, and just throw it up, or Steam did that. They're not really having the context of exchange rates and how volatile they are, especially with unstable economies and government systems.
I mean, dude, this is crazy. So, I mean, because it's saying, because they use the comma for the dot. So it's $10 is what, 287.56? And it goes up to 489.06? Like, what?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's hard to put it into context because you don't know, like, how much, what are good metrics? Like bread, milk, eggs, water, like all of these fluctuate vastly depending on the region you're in. Like water in Maine is going to be a heck of a lot cheaper than, I don't know, water in like Dubai, you know?
Yeah.
It's not going to be on the same playing field.
Yeah.
But let's get into this a little bit further. So, and to be fair, they have a point. A quick glance at SteamDB price history for some games reveals a few absolutely staggering price increases. Far Cry 5 has gone up in price by around 240% over its previous Argentinian peso cost, from a converted price of $14.12 to $48. Oh, man. That's USD, but that is wild for like just the American side. Like us looking at it from American eyes right now. Dude, $14, and then you're just like, nah, it's $48. $50, bro, because there's taxes is what they were saying. So let's continue. So Stardew Valley is even more stark, shooting up to $2,900 in Argentina. The game's previous peso price shook out to be about 50 cents USD, but it now costs exactly the same for users in that region as it does for Americans in the US of A. What?
Wow.
Stardew Valley is a relatively new game, so it's going from 50 USD to like... Oh my gosh. Do you want to do 5.50 divided by 2,400 or 2,900?
Man,
so... Holy smokes. Yeah, to be fair, not every game can measure its price increase in the thousands of percent, but nearly everything has gone dearer to some extent. Take the year's biggest games, for example. Baldur's Gate 3 has gone up from a converted peso price of 28.25 to 35. That's not terrible. Increase of 24%, still pretty rough. Not terrible. Starfield has gone up by the same amount, 33.91 to 42, and Call of Duty rounds out the hat trick with a jump of $56.52 to $70 even.
Paying it as much as we are, baby. Let's go.
We're not even paying it. Those might not sound like dramatic leaps to readers in the West, but they're sizable enough. Reliable average wage data is difficult to pin down, but the minimum wage in Turkey is around 11,000 lira, or near $400 at time of writing. Whew. Jesus.
My lord.
Argentina's, meanwhile, is currently about 146,000 pesos or $415. Neither economic situation is liable to improve in the foreseeable future, making even small price movement feel seismic to Argentine and Turkish buyers when measured in dollars. Fair play to Diablo 4, frankly, which is the biggest game I could find that's actually managed to go down in price, dropping from a converted peso price of $79.13 to $70. And this is after the update, too. A drop of 11%. There's probably a reason for that, though. Games that don't have a specific price set for the new USD, Latin America and USD, MENA areas, which include, incidentally, 23 countries besides Argentina and Turkey, are simply defaulting to their US dollar prices in the USA. I suspect this is why Diablo has technically dropped in price, while Stardew has suddenly valued itself at 2,900. Dude, like, I've always thought, I mean, pretty much gaming in these two countries alone, and I'm sure this is going to be more countries just overall. These are just going to be the two biggest ones that are going to be impacted directly by these price differences, man, is they're not taking into any consideration like the current economic crisis that are going in both of these countries or worldwide in general. And it's really tough to justify, like, if you're in these two countries, you basically just got priced out of gaming. You know?
Yeah. It's just reality of it, honestly.
There's not that type of money just flowing around where they can be like, oh yeah, I'm going to just go spend a year's salary. Not really. A year's salary on a game.
Yeah, man. It's this is rough. And I think especially as you see those high percentiles, it's like, oh man. It's, you know, it ain't fair, man. What's going on here? What are we doing? What are we doing, Mike?
Dude, I have no idea what we're doing. What I do know is just, like, I'm not intimately in this community. Like, I just see them by association because the Halo 2 community is kind of split. It's like the people that are still playing that were big fans are really good for ages, and they play on Cartographer. That's just their jam, man. And the only other group of people that are playing, the younger people, are actually in Latin America, mostly Colombia, sometimes Mexico. But it's because, like, the game is super cheap and it's super good. It's like, yeah, one of the best games of all time in terms of multiplayer. So they have a very dedicated, like, community there. They'll run, like, tournaments and stuff like that where, to them, it's like, it's good payouts and stuff. And they'll use, like, pesos and stuff, their currencies. And like the Western or like Americans, Native Americans will get there and they'll start playing and they'll be like, oh, this is nothing, like, at all. They make that in like an hour, you know?
Yeah, no.
But to them, it's like, it could be big money. So, like, I've seen a couple of guys come over and they'll play in like the American, like Native American, like, tournaments that we got going on. We're using USD and they end up winning, and they'll win like $500 just for them in a tournament. It's like, what's that conversion rate for them? Like a month worth of food and they don't have to worry about it. I mean, that's the same thing in the US, but I think it might go a little bit further. As you could tell, I'm speaking from absolutely no basis and almost kind of out of my butt. But what I'm trying to say is like the economic situation in the US and the prices that they're charging do not match the economic situation in these two countries or any country that are in similar situations.
Yeah. I mean, that's reality of it, right? That's the difficulty with like trying to market to all these countries, right? Why it takes so long, I feel like, for like if a subscription bottle or something comes out or like someone offers a new product, it's like it takes a while to get to other countries, and I think it's a huge reason for it is because like you have to factor in so much when trying to come up with pricing and what's fair and you know, economic wise, and yeah, there's a lot of probably I'm sure there's a lot of experts around, you know, that they have in each region that kind of tell them, okay, what are we like from an economic standpoint, what are we looking at? How do we make money kind of thing? Yeah, it's wild stuff. You were mentioning all that stuff. You were talking about Native American like tournaments. I think you meant North American. But
there was a troll post in the Halo 2 Discord. Somebody said that a guy in Canada was Native American. Sorry. That's my bad. That's a slip I had from something I read literally hours ago. Yeah. Thanks for correcting me.
Yeah. I just want people to be like, Native American, what's going on?
You know, something else to add on is Civilization 4 VI, isn't that, is that 6?
6.
Yeah, because it goes, six. So Civilization 6 and Raft, dude, like they said 2,900% increase, bro, for like 2,900% increase on Stardew Valley. Bro, Civilization 6 has a 4,300% increase. 4,300% increase. I'm just going to say the thousandth.
Wow.
Like, yeah, and Raft, gosh. Raft, a popular game, 2,182% increase.
What?
Brother.
Okay, Civ 6? I got it for free on Epic one time, Mike. Are you kidding? Epic promotions. Raft was like $20 when I bought it.
It's crazy, dude. Absolutely insane.
Gosh, dude, it's ridiculous. It's crazy, man. There's a lot of layers to this that, you know, I definitely don't understand, but this article helped me understand a little bit, I guess, about what could be going on, you know?
So one more thing to add is, like, I click on this link for the Reddit post, and an alleged game dev came in, and he said, hey, game dev here, this is not normal. I suspect a bug happened on Valve's side. And then he says, he edited and goes, checked our Steam email again. If you do not add a USD price to these columns for your game before November 20th, we will default to the standard USD pricing you already have in Steamworks. Seems like manual input was explicitly needed after all, but I'm not the only dev who missed it, apparently. So, apparently, this is a glitch, and you had to manually update your prices for the regions that it was in.
Jeez.
That's
crazy how it's manual. And like that was blows my mind. It wasn't like an automated system in place. But I mean, yeah, you know.
That's kind of nuts because I feel like this could be game devs losing some money. Just like if you see a price hike like that, like if I see one of my favorite games just do this price hike and now I have to pay for that just to keep playing the game, I'm immediately disinterested in the developer. I feel like they're greedy, you know, and when you get that greedy label, you're done.
Yeah, it's hard to bounce back.
Yeah, but that's basically what's going on in Turkey and Argentina. I'm pretty sure they're going to correct it, though, if that person's being truthful.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. I hope that it is corrected because that is crazy, man.
Yeah. Absolutely
nuts.
You know what is crazy is our final article to wrap up what's happening this Friday when this episode publishes on all platforms, on all audio platforms.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching this on Friday, November 24th, 2023, happy Black Friday. Hope you get some stuff.
Happy Black Friday.
Look, if you need gaming ideas for Black Friday, we got you.
I do.
I know last year we did like the huge Black Friday episode. Went through a lot of stuff. Feel like
we grinded it out.
Yeah, it was like a 2-hour episode. If anyone's taking,
it might be too much. Yeah, I don't know if I can emotionally handle that again, especially because we know how long the Game Awards is going to go, man.
I don't know. That's our longest episode probably this year. It's gonna be that.
Yeah.
I mean, I figured we probably shouldn't like you know, slave over and try and find like a bunch of different deals. There's a lot to look at. There's a lot of articles out there you can look at. I've decided to kind of contain the Black Friday deals to like gaming related stuff this year. And I think The Verge has good helped idea. Pick some interesting some interesting stuff, I think. So Antonio Benedito. Hope I said your name right, Antonio. Listen.
Sounds right.
The Verge. Ladies and gentlemen. It is time. There's no better time to stock up on games and gaming accessories than Black Friday. And this year, we're seeing sizable discounts on some of the biggest titles released this year. A year, need I remind you, that's been inundated with many excellent games. While not all of this year's biggest games are significant discounts, titles like Final Fantasy 16 and the Resident Evil 4 remake are. When it comes to slightly older games like Doom Eternal, could be can be had for a pittance, making this a great time to stock up on some of the releases that you might have missed months or even years ago. As for gaming accessories and peripherals, Black Friday and Cyber Monday always present a cornucopia of worthwhile discounts on things like controllers, headsets, and even consoles. So be sure to check out all that's on offer and heavily discounted here, as these deals will be just what the doctor ordered when it comes to the inevitable drought of games in the new year. You know, for the biggest need to play something new. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to shotgun through a lot of these. Give you some prices, give you some discounts, how much you're saving, whatnot. Funny enough, one of the biggest deals on new games this year is at QVC, Mike. I'm sure you haven't heard that since the TV marketing stuff. It's crazy.
Dude. Yeah, it's actually crazy. I haven't heard about QVC in a very long time.
Yeah, biggest deals in new games at QVC, where you can get $20 off your first order of $40 or more when you use promo code HOLIDAY20. The promo can drop newer Switch games like Super Mario Bros. Wonder, Super Mario RPG, and Sonic Superstars to $40, down from their retail price of $60. However, these newer titles sometimes go out of stock, and it's a one-time use code, so choose carefully. Ladies and gentlemen, Final Fantasy 16 for the PlayStation 5. On sale for $40 across most platforms, 43% off, $70 game, so pretty deep discount. Resident Evil 4 is 50% off on Amazon for the Series X. You can get on Newegg for $33 and on Amazon for $40 on the PS5. A very, very nice little discount on what is nominated for Game of the Year. And I know we had some thoughts about that last week, but sure is. So, Street Fighter 6. It's 50% off, Mike. It's from $60 to $30. Available on Amazon pretty much for PS5, Xbox, Series X. Newegg has it for $35 on PC. Best Buy has it on PS5 for $40. Dead Space, the 2023 edition, is currently 50% off from the $70 price tag at $35. You can get that on console, PS5, Xbox from Best Buy. That price. Star Wars Jedi Survivor is $30, 57% off from the $70 price tag. $30 at GameStop. Get it for PS5. You can get it on the Series X standard for $35. Crazy stuff. God of War Ragnarok on PS5, 50% off, $35 at Best Buy. Solid title from what I've heard. Very good game.
It is.
So,
yeah.
Hey, check it out. And it's crazy that it's been a year since release, right? It's been a already been here.
Dude, time goes by quick, bro.
If you enjoyed HBO's fantastic adaptation of Last of Us, Last of Us Part 1 is on sale for the PS5 at Best Buy and GameStop for $40. That's $30 off. Walkable remake. They did a Last of Us Part 2 remaster remake thing, and I was like, this game came out 3 years ago, but hey, there's a lot of stuff included with it.
Yeah, right.
And it's a $10 upgrade if you already own it, so I mean, I gotta give them credit. They're pretty good. Assassin's Creed Mirage is 20% off. $50 game dropping down to $40. This game just came out, Mike. I have to preface it to say that. It's $40 pretty much everywhere. Amazon, Target, Best Buy. So you can get a new Assassin's Creed for pretty cheap. Tunic, the digital edition, $21. Great little indie title. Great art style. Little fox running around. Looks like paper mache almost. Looks pretty sick. Also, we have to point out, Epic is offering Epic coupon to users on the Epic Game Store. Coupon knocks 33% off the cost of the game on Epic's digital storefront. And you have until November 28th at 11 a.m. to actually use it. Discount works on all kinds of titles, too, including Game of the Year contender Alan Wake 2. You can get it for 33.5 instead of 50, so stuff there. You could have waited. You know, if I just waited 2 weeks, you know what I'm saying, Mike? Crazy.
There's no way you would, like, be able to, though. Absolutely no way.
Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Mike, 30% off, dropping from 60 to 42. Great,
it's a fairly new game, there. Too.
Yeah. It is. Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope. $15 for the Nintendo Switch. $40 title. 63% off. I feel like Mario Rabbids is kind of like a weird... It's like it's been a collaboration that's been happening for years and years and years, but it's kind of like a weird, like... I don't know how many people enjoy it. Anyway. I digress. You know, it is pretty sick, though. 10% off Nintendo Switch Online Expansion Pack. Which is our annual subscription. You can, instead of $80, it's $72 for your subscription. So, pretty cool stuff. Expansion pack's the one that includes like the N64, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, the Booster Course Pass, Animal Crossing stuff, Splatoon stuff, Sega Genesis emulator. I mean, you get a lot of stuff with that expansion pack. So, yeah, very cool stuff. I just have to give credit for Nintendo for calling it the expansion pack when it's like, isn't that what the thing in the N64 was, like the expansion? Like,
yeah. I actually have it in the other room. I can go grab it right now where you put it in the controller. Nice, yeah.
Cool stuff. Diablo 4, Mike. Guess what? You can get it on Newegg. You can get it on Amazon.
$38. Newegg, I think, is like, it's a pretty well-known website, but like sometimes I forget that it exists. It's one of the best places to find deals year round. Newegg.
Oh yeah, Black Friday PC parts. Newegg. Oh. I want to check it.
Oh goodness. Same. Oh, go to PC Part Picker first, and that's where you get the deals. That's where you find out where they sell. The best. That's the main one to go.
Mike's 5 million brain over here trying to help you guys. You understand?
Yeah, no idea. No.
The best deals on game consoles, Mike. We move on to game consoles. Very cool stuff. You get the PS5 Marvel's Spider-Man 2 bundle. For the new Slim, and that
some is, say it should be game of the year. By the way,
some say that.
We'll see,
it's $500, so you pretty much get the game for free, and you get the console and the game for free.
You do
until you get
get $70 game for free. Buy one. I mean, buy the console, get the game.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, right? Like especially the past couple of years, whenever Black Friday rolls around, the consoles themselves don't get discounts. It's just the bundled consoles do. So like, you get a free game, you get a free controller, like whatever. Like that's what you get.
Yeah.
Which could be a deal, you know? I mean, it's the best time to buy one, right? If you get something free with it.
Yeah, if you don't already have a console, go ahead. Yeah, makes sense.
Nintendo Switch Mario Kart 8 Deluxe Bundle. It's 18% off because you get Mario Kart for free with it. That's originally $368, is $300. And that's across Amazon, Best Buy, GameStop. But yeah, most of these retailers. Now the PS5 Modern Warfare 3 Call of Duty Bundle. Same as kind of... the Spider-Man 2 bundle, you get the nice 12% off. You get the game for free, essentially. I will say, however, I have to wholeheartedly recommend, if you get one of these bundles, get the Spider-Man 2 bundle. Do not get the COD bundle. that's just my recommendation. Unless you're like a COD head, you know, whatever. But Spider-Man 2 is a very good game, so if you want to get into a single-player game, that's what you want to get. Now, do you want a Diablo 4 Xbox Series X bundle, Mike? It's only $450. 20% off.
That's actually like a really good deal, because normal Xbox Series X with this bundle is $560, and they're marking you down over $100. So,
and apparently Target is offering this at $450 with a $75 gift card. So like,
Target does have like sneaky deals. Sneaky. Like if you're near Target, like they'll have deals on like cameras and stuff.
Oh yeah,
really good deals. Kind of surprising.
Yeah. Also, side note, Walmart is going to be selling the Xbox Series S 512GB console in white with an extra controller for $290, which is about $80 off, less than, you know, the $300 for just the console alone. So you kind of get a controller with it, a spare controller, I guess. Now, a big one in the hardware market that I think a lot of people would be interested in, the Asus ROG Ally 512GB model, Mike. It's only $450. 32% off.
That's actually like a really good idea. Like that's a good deal, man. That's a good deal.
Yep.
I'm gonna Google this and see if it's also on Amazon.
Best Buy got it for $450, so hey. There you go. I wonder if Amazon does price matching. You think so? Like, hey, yo, Best Buy got up for this.
Just saying. I think they do. I think they do. Oh, yeah, they actually don't sell it on Amazon. It's still on like the pre-order. That's actually surprising. Crazy. I didn't know that. Yeah, so this is a very what would you call it? Like Best Buy exclusive almost.
Yeah, I know. You like VR, Mike?
Not particularly, but I know people do.
Hey, MetaQuest 2, it's only $250 right now. It's 29% off with a $50 gift card. Get it at Target. Newegg. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, nice.
All right, we're getting to your section, Mike. The controllers. The controller. Oh,
I got the first game, the first one already.
Oh, baby. DualSense Wireless. See, this is what I love about this type of year, is like those base controllers for the consoles are just like great deals, you know? You need a new controller, it's like, hey, just want a spare controller? Now's the time.
This is definitely the perfect time to get a base controller.
I think. DualSense. Yeah, but DualSense is only $50 right now. Get one. That's across like most retailers too, I think. It's like down to like $50. You just get a controller. And Amazon even has the different colors. They have the red, they have the purple. I mean, yeah. So colors of choosing. The 8-bit whatever you want to call it.
I mess up all the time.
The 8-bit Do Ultimate Bluetooth controller is 20% off at only $56. So
it's a good controller. I use it. It's really good.
All right. There you go. You heard it here first. Ladies and gentlemen, Xbox Elite Wireless Controller Series 2 is only $140. It's 22% off from $180. I think it's about the price I got. I think I got it for like super cheap 1 year because I was able to like price match it at a Walmart or something. But
yeah. Usually they go on sale around Christmas time, I think. I don't think they're insanely popular. But yeah, most people, when it goes on sale, they're like, yeah, this might be the controller to get.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's a good controller.
Hey, tell you what, Mike, the Xbox wireless controller, the base one, it's only $40. It ain't even 50, it's 40. Just saying.
I would take that before the next two.
Well, there you go. Honest. The Power A enhanced wired controller, the Power A, the budget Xbox line. $20 you can get a controller. It is the enhanced wireless.
Yeah.
It's micro USB. So, you know, some people would read that and just be like, okay, micro USB, it's 2023, what are we doing? But it is a budget controller, you have to understand.
It is worth $20. I wouldn't pay more than that.
There you
I'll
go.
Be honest.
He says it.
I have one. I have one. I said it before. I was just like, they're kind of trash. They really are.
There you go.
So,
well, you can get cool designs at least. That's the best part about it, probably. You can maybe get some of the cool designs. But yeah,
yes, so
there's that. Some of my back buttons too. I don't know if that one does like the paddles. I don't know. Anyway, the Nikon Revolution X is also 50% off. It's actually $50. Apparently, it retails for $100. So. Apparently super customizable from what I've read. So but yeah, it's $50 on Amazon. It says 86 at Best Buy, and then you could just buy it for 100 on the website. But I mean, unless you want like camo colors, why would you do such a thing? You know what I'm saying? Just get it on Amazon.
Oh yeah.
But yes. Also, the Hori Split Pad Pro. Now these are it's a pretty sick Switch Joy-Cons enhanced, essentially, where it's like actual full grip. Like, if you're playing this thing handheld, Mike, these are the Joy-Cons you'll want.
That's 100%
full,
what I need.
Full comfort, you know?
My hand cramps all the time.
It's 20% off right now, Mike. $40. It's pretty crazy.
It's also on Amazon with one left. Depending on how I feel after we wrap this up, there might not be any. Also same price, $40.
Yeah. Very cool. The Backbone One, which I think is an interesting one. The Backbone is kind of like the that's sort of like it's the PlayStation branded controllers for mobile, I like to think. Connects to your iPhone. So you can just use it with anything. I think it's kind of sacrilegious if you used the Backbone with XCloud, but I mean, hey, if you want to do that, by all means.
It's
like a PlayStation Remote Play they show in like the display photo. It's like, it's a PlayStation device, but hey, I'd be using xCloud on it. I can't lie. So if you don't want to be sacrilegious, though, you can move on to the Razer Kishi. Razer Kishi V2 is also available. That can also be used with a with iPhones. iPhone 15 was the first to introduce the USB-C, like every other Android phone. So they have a version for that. But yeah, you know. But yeah. I mean, then again, I mean, the USB-C version, now you could just buy that. You don't need the iPhone version. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's not sacrilegious if you use it with xCloud either. So there you go. Can game knowing that much. So yeah, very, very cool stuff on the handhelds. Quick thing, just going over some headsets. I'm going to go over some like headsets, some mice, some storage devices, Mike. We got to go through these real quick. The Sony N-Zone. Sony N-Zone H9, right? That's like the Sony headphones. Ridiculously expensive, though, I must say. Talk about $300 headphones, according to this. It's $221, 26% off. Am I still going to buy these headphones, Mike? How do I say this nicely? No. but hey, top end Sony gaming headset, according to the marketing. So, hey, I can respect it, I guess. It's got noise cancellation. Very cool. Active noise cancellation is always nice. I'm good on my Astros. You know what I'm saying? The Sony H-Zone H3. Okay, now the price is coming down, Mike. We're at $58, 42% off. They're more budget-friendly option. It is corded. The first one was wireless. This one isn't. Keep that in mind. The HyperX Cloud 3 wireless gaming headset. Another wireless one for a $130. It's 24% off. So, usually from a $170. Yeah, I mean, wireless headsets. I personally love wireless headsets. I know some people like still think that, you know, there's input delay and whatnot. I mean, sure, you could take that. But all I'm saying is, I love wireless headsets. The convenience, it's unmatched, in my opinion, right? In my humble, non-competitive gamer opinion. You know what I'm saying? Xbox stereo headset. Yeah, just the Xbox, the bare bones. $46, 23% off. 60. Would I recommend this? I don't know. Hey, if you're just getting into gaming, maybe.
Yeah, if you're just getting into gaming, you want to plug it directly in your controller. Yeah, $46. There's a market for that for sure.
Yeah, sure. Now we get into some mice, Mike. One of my favorite aspects as a PC gamer myself, kind of see the mouse tech that's out there. The Logitech G Pro X Super Light, $160 mouse. It's only $100 right now. 38% off. Get it at Best Buy. Amazon's got it pretty cheap. But yeah, I mean, and I say it is cheap, but I mean, I will say, I did have a G Pro wireless at one point from Logitech. It was a great mouse for 2 years until it started double clicking. I probably could have sent it in to get it replaced, but by that time I'd already moved on to Glorious. So just like, here I am using a different product, but I mean, at the time I used it, it's a fairly solid mouse. Thought it was good. I think with the new iterations, they fixed that double click issue. I hope, cause that was, I think, showing up in a lot of people's mouse. I think a buddy of mine had the same issue. But his showed up after like a year or something like that. That double is crazy.
So you would not recommend the G Pro? Is what it sounds.
Yeah,
like.
Probably the first iteration I wouldn't recommend. The Super Light, I think it's cool that it's the same design and everything. They did make it lighter though. So I mean, if you love the light mice, I mean, this mouse is pretty light. But I mean, it's one of those things. I don't know. There's definitely less fatigue, I think, in longer sessions. But for the most part, I ain't a CS Pro. All right. That buddy I was talking about, he actually just posted on Twitter recently. He's like top 1,000 in CS, face it, not CS2. So he's insane. He's been playing shooters for a while. So he knows his stuff. But yeah. Anyways, I digress. We move on to the G502 X Plus. Mike, you want an RGB strip that runs along the base of your mouse? Is that what you want?
Kind
Do you
of,
want 50
kind
million
of.
Buttons? You want a sniper button that's easily accessible?
I need more.
Do you want 1,000 hertz polling rate? You don't even get the 8K. That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't get the 8K. Like, what are we doing here? $135. But I mean, hey, it's a versatile mouse. I've used the G502 before. It is very heavy. That's why I stray away from it. But I mean, some people love a heavy mouse. Some people love that heaviness. It's the equivalent of the Razer Basilisk V3. It's actually a really good comparison, I'd say. G502X, which is next on the list, the Basilisk V3. And they have the strip going down the side where the thumb rest is, Mike. Isn't that pretty nice? It's like you have the nice like,
pretty interesting.
Thumb divot and you have the strip there. Basilisk V3. It's only $40. I don't know if it's RGB. It doesn't look like it. I think it's just green. It's like that Razer green.
I'm sure it's RGB though, because like All Razer devices are like crazy with the RGB.
Yeah. It's also the wired version too, so it's probably why it's cheaper. Wireless technology do be getting kind of pricey. Get some more Logitech headsets on sale. Go into some storage, Mike. You ready for this? Are you a Switch enthusiast out there who wants a micro SD card that doesn't break the bank but provides up to 512 gigabytes of storage? Well, Samsung Nevo Plus micro SD is only $25. The 29% off from the 35, so get that Best Buy or Amazon. Dude, yeah, that's pretty crazy, Mike. 512 gigs for $25 on a little micro SD.
Pretty cheap.
I think there's terabytes I saw too that were like really cheap, like 50 or something like that. It's crazy,
man.
We're
gonna get into one of them. It's actually crazy.
Man. All right. The I don't know how much I could recommend this because it's a Data or whatever. I mean, they're kind of a low tier brand, I'd say. However, for $60, for $60, you can get a what is this? It's PS5 compatible. That's cool. Where's the size? Am I blind? Is there a size here, Mike?
They have 1 terabyte for $60. Okay. 1 terabyte for $60. Okay. 2 terabytes is 100, and then 4 terabytes is 230.
Yeah. I'm so used to like seeing it in the description and they just didn't say anything. It's like, how big is it? But yeah, okay.
Yeah, so they just randomly started putting in brackets at the look for the Amazon links.
Yeah.
That's where it is.
Gotcha. But yeah. Yeah, $60 for a terabyte, 100 for two. 100 for two on a NVMe is pretty good. And PCIe, yeah. So I mean that's a good price.
I feel like that's fair.
4 terabytes for 230, that's pretty good too. I mean, look, like 4 terabytes on a drive like that, very hard to find, I feel like. So
yeah.
If you could find it, it's like, okay, might not be bad. And yeah. It seems like
$30 for like your PS5, dude. Kinda wild.
But yeah, I mean thoughts, huh?
Who needs that disc tray, bro? When I got a 4 terabyte hard drive.
Yeah, right. I can get the disc tray. Give me the Slim without it. Understand?
Seriously.
I do. Oh, Mike. You already know, baby. You remember the proprietary Xbox Series X hard drives that had to be released by all these companies?
Not anymore.
Oh, crazy.
Western Digital.
Western Digital Black C50 expansion card for Xbox Series X and S. 1 terabyte, $125.
It's not bad.
17% off. I mean, $25 off.
It's a little... Yeah, I mean, it's... To be fair, it is double the M.2 drive that we just looked at, the SSD. That would just be PS5 compatible. So storage is still going to be very expensive on the Xbox consoles, which is unfortunate.
It's a bummer, right?
Gives you another option, at least.
Does. Yeah, I mean, Western Digital Black, I think they make, like, I mean, they always make sleek-looking products, and I think they're reliable. Western Digital's been making drives forever, and their Caviar Blue hard drive was such a go-to in like the early to like mid 2010s that like people just went to them, and they were super cheap, reliable. Like I like Western
Digital.
That's
the biggest thing.
So yeah,
so I think they're. I mean, that's the bread and butter.
Yeah, I mean this their line of products they got with the Black Series I think is awesome because it's just like high performance drives that you know can't be beat. And I think they're reliable. So yeah. I mean, hey, I'd rather get a Western Digital Black expansion than like something else, personally. So, hey.
Agreed. Yeah,
$25. $25 off isn't bad. But now we talk about the Samsung 990 Pro NVMe SSD. Look, Samsung and their 980, their 990 series. I think they're all the best of the best in terms of like a you know an NVMe drive. So it's always what I go, kind of my go to, whether it's an Evo or a Pro. I think they're both amazing. I mean, personally, I think the Pro versus the Evo is not like a big enough noticeable difference unless you're doing like insanely niche things to really tell. I mean, I recommend just going with like an Evo drive because they're cheaper and they're very near the performance as of a Pro. So yeah, I mean, you're talking about 7,400 megabyte write speeds, 6,900. Well, 7,400 read speeds, 6,900 write speeds. Insane. Got $80 for a terabyte, 120 for two, 250 for four right now on Amazon. But yeah, it's like you can't go wrong with Samsung drives, I feel like, so kind of the go-to. Yeah. And they're on sale, so hey, now might be the time.
And then the follow-up is the same exact drive, but it's with the heatsink. And I would recommend the heatsink.
Yeah.
If you don't have one,
yeah,
definitely recommend getting one.
It could be nice, yeah. I mean, the heatsink's nice. I just use like the thermal pad, like my motherboard came with like the thermal pad plates, yeah. So I just use that. I mean, yeah, you save a little money, but I mean, yeah, they're both good, right?
Agreed. Mine did too for one M.2 slot.
Ah, see.
But the other one was blank, so I was like, well, I got to get a heat sink.
Yeah, you got to have some sort of heat on it. Agreed, yeah. Yeah, that's the way to go if you need that. I mean, some people don't like the heat sink because, like, yeah, I'd rather just use a thermal pad and I don't want to take up space. And, like, sometimes, like, mm-hmm. the card is, like, over a slot, like your graphics card, so it's, like, hard. You really can't use, like, a heat sink.
Right.
Situational, I guess. But yeah. Definitely available option. It's a little bit, it's like $10 more, but hey, there you go. Miscellaneous gaming stuff. Do you want to get a Game Boy Advanced framed anatomy? Mike, do you want to get the
Yeah, it's I think it's really cool. I think if I had a proper gaming room and I wanted to give somebody a gift,
ooh, yeah.
I would do this as a gift.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
But yeah, like, I've never heard of this, so it's Grid Studio. I've never heard of them before. I went to their website as we were breaking down all the different like deals that are going on, and they do it with a lot of things, man. Like, they have it looks like they have the Apple phone, like the first ever Apple phone.
Ooh,
they have Game Boy Color. They have, I don't even know what that one is. I'm like going off pictures because it's not really breaking it down. They have the PSP. They have the Nokia, the legendary brick phone. They have an NES controller. So it's like they got like a good variety here, like the first ever PlayStation controller. So if you got somebody in your life that's like a total nerd and geek, or like you are yourself, this is kind of up your alley. Like, hang up on the wall something kind of new, like unique. I don't think I've ever seen anybody put something up on there before. But that, yes, that, to be honest, if I wanted to burn about $200, I can get one of those, like maybe the Game Boy Color, and throw it up right on the wall.
Yeah,
be a good little backdrop. Perfect for streamers, I think.
It'd be pretty sick. I feel like this is creative if, like, you're dealing with something that, like, maybe, like, doesn't work anymore, and so you want to repurpose it, but you don't want to just throw it out. Like, be a good way to kind of hang it up. Yeah. I feel like that was kind of the idea with this, probably. It's like, you know, if you get broken hardware that's probably fixed,
how they started.
Like, yeah, you can just throw it up in a display. iPod Touch. Dude, this is pretty sick.
Right? Yeah, they got some options there.
The Game Gear?
Pretty cool website. I didn't, and they seem very like niche. It reminds me of when I went to Charleston and I got myself, well, I actually got a gift for my parents. Their favorite city is Barcelona, and this guy made a giant like wooden plank and then carved into it like the line to the street and like major destinations. It was very, really cool. And it was like a whole map of the city. Got that as a gift.
That's actually, that's really sick.
They absolutely loved it. So,
yeah, it's a great gift.
I get emails all the time.
Yeah, great gift ideas, you know? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, dude, if you like retro mechanical keyboards that look like NES color palettes, then Ape Do has you, dude, with the NES controller keyboard.
Somebody who has one of their controllers, they seem to be a good brand. Never had the keyboards, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be curious to see the keywords. You know, it's one of things, like, I was trying to think about, like, one of my setup I probably could upgrade next, and, like, I mean, I don't know if I'd do it now, probably a little bit later, but I'd love to do, like, a new keyboard, a new mouse mat, or, like, a new monitor. It's kind of like, you know,
oh, yeah.
Because I could definitely, I still have 1080p, I could go 1440p. A lot of keycaps on, like, my keyboard, like, I've had to replace, so, like, I've been thinking, like, oh, I mean, I'm pretty sure I have a Corsair keyboard, pretty sure they make, like, updated models and stuff, so I could probably get, like, a new refresher model, but.
True.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. I mean, that was kind of the end of Verge's kind of Black Friday deals to look out for, I think. So, some kind of good ideas, I feel like, if you're out there looking for something. But also, just if you have nothing else to do on Friday, just peruse Amazon and try not to spend your bank account, you know?
Yeah, be careful. You can easily click on too many things. Like, I'm about to just take a look at 8-Bit Do's store, or 8-Bit Do's store, and see what other Black Friday deals they have.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I feel like
looking good.
I feel like throughout the year, I just gotta start writing down stores and stuff like that I visit and want to return to at discounts. Because now, like, the past few days, I've just been thinking, like, all right, what are some things like I've kind of been wanting, but I didn't want to spend like full retail price for? And I'm just kind of trying to look around. Like, I want to look for I want to look at that controller store again. I mentioned before where they make kind of the older. It's like newer, older school controllers that are compatible like over wireless stuff like that. I might try and look at some of that stuff. See if maybe I can cop a controller. And yeah, I've also been looking at like just like merch and stuff, like shirts and whatnot. Pretty much every like merch store around, whether it's a band or like gaming and stuff like that, or like an org or something like that, they all have discounts now. So good opportunity to buy some shirts and stuff. So
many things to take a look at, man. Yeah. It's one of the things that, as you were talking, just like trying to remember all the different types of deals that might be going on and like past things that I've wanted in the past, but I didn't want to spend the extra money. Yeah.
It's like, it's hard trying to recount. I need to start writing it down because it's like hard for me to recount. Like
exactly. That's one of the benefits about Amazon. You can put it to a wish list and then just periodically get updates when they get on the low. But the reason why I was excited is you reminded me of the M Classic. And this is for gamers as well, people that have Nintendo Switch. Do you know what the M Classic is?
It sounds familiar.
Okay, so M Classic, it was also a Kickstarter, and it was shown on, what's his name? Linus Tech Tips. So M Classic, and one of my buddies has this, is pretty sick, is an upscaler for consoles. So they do a plug-and-play kind of thing where you can upgrade your graphics card in real time with no lag for the Switch, PlayStation, Xbox, Wii, GameCube, Gamecast. So older generation, even though you're saying Switch is older generation, like the Switch really only has 1080p. But if you play the games on like an extended monitor, like really big, the M Classic can make things a little bit smoother and look good. It's really good for the original Xbox, which is what I've been playing on, and I've been using a monitor. So if I can upscale the signal to like a 1440p or like a 2K monitor or something like that, same thing, but it'd be really sick. It's also on discount. It's $20 off or 20% off. Technically, yeah, $20. It's normally $100. One of my buddies got the game, got the M Classic for like really cheap, like $30 or $40 when they first started off. But because they're popular, supply and demand, price increased, dude. So
very cool.
It's like, yeah, looking good, man. I'm gonna go ahead and add that to my list right now. So if anybody asks me, what do you want for Christmas? I'm just gonna send them my wish list. Pick something. Yeah.
Also, I have to give a tip out there, pro tip for anyone shopping on Amazon. It's like the best thing ever. There's multiple plugins out there. I'll show an example. There's a plugin called Keepa, which is an Amazon like price tracker. I feel like you should download it. If you have Chrome or anything like that, you should download an extension like this because it'll really tell you if the discount, if that Black Friday deal, quote unquote, is actually a deal. And so like this Elgato Wave DX, this mic, it's like, okay, it's on sale for $70. Well, if I scroll down, I can see, okay, in the past 3 months, it actually, it was 90 most of the time, spiked up to 100, but it actually is at the lowest price. And like, I know with this one, it could tell you whether like used, it could tell you, let's, you know, if it's third party or anything like that. It also has a range, so I can just go, okay, for the entirety of the time it was here, this is actually like, yeah, it was only one other time it was actually this low in the past year, and it was back in July. So I feel like a price tracker like this is like, is like clutch if you're looking for deals to see what's actually deals on Amazon. This will tell you like everything. But yeah, it's called Keepa. K-E-E-P-A. Comes in clutch too many times.
Will you do me a favor and take a look at what it could be for the M Classic right now?
M Classic.
So yeah, M Classic, and it should be the first link. It's the one with the big M and it looks like USB. Yeah, that one right there.
The M Classic, let's see. Lowest price in 30 days. Okay.
Allegedly.
Let's see if it's true. Okay. I'm liking this. It is the lowest price. It has been.
Put it on its since its entirety.
So let's see. 1,500 days.
Oh my goodness.
You can see how many the warehouse deals and lightning deals there were. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for this, let me show the screen. But yeah, so this shows you literally everything. It's like Amazon's price, new, if it was ever on sale or anything like that, like could have gotten it for $77 used on October 19th, 2022 or 2020, if you wanted to. Like, it shows you everything. So yeah, but shows you that. Yeah, it seems like, so back in May it was discounted at this price a little bit. February was. So yeah, every now and again, but yeah, it's
okay, cool.
Not too bad of a deal. It seems like that's kind of the lowest it gets new anyway. So
I might jump on that. I'll have to figure that out.
But yeah. Again, that's K-E-E-P-A. Not a sponsor, but a great tool. I'd recommend using if you're shopping on Amazon.
Yes, sir.
All right, Mike. We want to wish these people a nice, a happy Thanksgiving, happy Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
We do.
Get something good.
let's wish them a happy Black Friday deals, because that is a worldwide deal, I believe, especially with the internet now.
I believe.
And Cyber Monday and all these different types of things. So
Steam sale.
Gamers can go get the deals, enjoy the deals. Hope it works better for the Argentinians and the Turkish. It's pretty brutal what they're having to deal with right now. I'm sure it's going to get fixed. Maybe it's already fixed by now. Who knows? But Canes are up 5-1. Let's continue watching the game.
Oh,
game's
my.
Over. It's against the Oilers. They're
the Edmontons. Oh,
yeah, they're not very good, to say the least. I'm trying not to be mean, but
it's crazy.
They only have 5 wins, but yeah, I feel like we kept them long enough. If you stuck around this long, thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed the deals that you were able to find. All the articles that we talked about are in the description below. We have tiny URLs for that. Just overall appreciate you guys listening. Like, comment, subscribe, give us your thoughts, opinions. Keep an eye out on the YouTube for segments that we cut up and make it more digestible. If you don't have the time to do the full hour and a half, hour and 36 minutes, looks like. So we appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. I'm Michael Anthony. That's Kyle Heath. And take it easy. We'll see you next week.
Get some deals.
Bye.
Peace out.